Are we still good there, Mark? Good morning, brothers and sisters. How am I doing, Michelle? Up higher. All right. Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. I do welcome you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I appreciate your prayers this morning, as always, that I could get this message across to you, that the words the Lord desires for your hearts today would be received, not by my own wisdom or my own silliness or seriousness, whatever the case may be, but that you'd receive and it'd be a blessing to you this day, and a blessing in the form of a gift. So I'll start today with a couple definitions here of the word gift. And this is from the dictionary.com, so the plain Jane old definition, something given voluntarily without payment in return, as to show favor towards someone, honor an occasion, or make a gesture of assistance, a present. Gift, a present, anything given or bestowed, anything the property of which is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation, a donation. It is applicable to anything movable or immovable, and that's from the Webster's Dictionary from 1828. So there's going to be participation. I was worried. I didn't know how many people would be here today, but we get participation today. So I've got a question, and this is, you can answer. You know, I thought I was going to limit you here for a second, but you can answer whatever you want to. You know, what is a good gift? Part by participation, do I need to define that word? Something that is desired. Something that is useful. Thoughtful. All right, I'll accept that. There's no necessary right or wrong answers. And if it's a good gift, what do we do with it? Meaning what if it's a good gift, what, how do we show it's a good gift? Use it. Very good. Yes. And that could be a number of ways, right? I mean, not all gifts are so-called usable, right? They could be something that's not tangible. You can't touch it or something. It could be a gift like that, but there's some expression of you using it, correct? I think that's fair. Do we want gifts? We do, right? I mean, let's be serious. We do. We love gifts. Now, Mark, being funny this morning, pointed me to a scripture in Exodus where it talks about not gifts. And of course, that in that particular instance in Exodus, they were talking to the judges at the time, and it wasn't necessarily a gift; it was a bribe, right? You know, that's not a gift that we're talking about here. You know, bribes obviously aren't any good. You know, for example, you know, a gift, Brandon might want to give me $20 to change the topic of my sermon today because he wants me to get into Timothy and make sure that Erica knows how to be a good woman and remain silent in church or something. You know, I took his $20, but I didn't change my sermon. But let's talk. I brought some gifts. All right. Need like a backpack hanger here, right? So some good gifts, and you know, there was some rhyme or reason to this. You know, now some of this is used. Pretend like it's new, okay? You know, here's a speaker. One might enjoy that, right? Here's a little game thingy, little Nintendo game player. Kids would enjoy that, right? Your kids would enjoy that, and. How about a pair of socks? Clean, unused socks. Useful, right? It's a good gift. Maybe some jewelry, right? Right? I put the gift category. Golf balls, for those few golfers out there. Those have my company logo on it. They might not be as exciting to some of you, but Ooh, ooh. I got it. I got other pockets here. I don't remember which pocket I put it in. Oh, there it is. $20. Right? I started to say I'm going to give these gifts out, and then people would take me seriously, and I don't want to give them $20. Maybe some Bluetooth headphones, some Apple AirPods. You know, that might be exciting to you, right? Ah! And I'm just trying to get a variety of gifts here to talk about. Where did I put? Well, I should not have put it in so many pockets, that's for sure. All right. Book of Mormon or Libro de Mormon. Good gift, right? Mountain Dew Zero? Right? I don't know where I can put that without, here, I'll put it on the socks. And then lastly here, again, there's no rhyme or reason. Very high-end slingshot, right? Very exciting. Now, what do you think of these gifts, right? Some of you were like, that's really exciting, isn't it, right? Yeah, it's very exciting. Gary sure wasn't too excited about the jewelry, was he, though? Yes, but when I pulled these out, you had a different reaction to them, right? Most of you weren't, you know, assuming this was real jewelry, had some diamonds. Most of you aren't, some of you aren't real excited about it, but some of you love jewelry and want it. Not everybody drinks diet pop. Not everybody drinks pop. Not everybody likes Mountain Dew Zero. I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's very good, right? Not everybody's a game player, worthless, you know. If Andy were here, he'd tell me our gym case is my favorite. What a waste of good pasture land to build a golf course, right? We hate golf. That wouldn't be a good gift for gym case. Not at all. It'd be a terrible gift, right? So gifts, even though useful to somebody, aren't the same to everybody. They're not useful. Libro de Mormon. How many fluent Spanish speakers are in here? That'd be absolutely worthless, right? But there are a handful of Spanish speakers where, yeah, we could use this, you know, or even if you don't speak Spanish, this could be useful because you could give it to somebody who you think wants to read it, who is fluent in Spanish, or maybe that's their main language or speak very little English. It'd be a great gift. But the idea that I want to get across to you is that there are good gifts and there can be bad gifts, right? So there are bad gifts, right? That fake smile you do when you receive a bad gift, the crying child, the skunk with the tin can on his head. I don't know why that's there. I just looks like a great picture. I was looking for a skunk with a bow on its head as the bad gift, and that's what I came. That's as close as I could get. That's a gift wrapped skunk for you. So are all gifts good? They're not, right? We know that. We know all gifts are not good, right? I brought a couple other gifts, just two this time, right? Hat. How many of you guys like hats? Good. Well, here's a hat, right? If you look closer at it and or smell it, you will know that I sweat heavily into this hat yesterday, all right? This is not a hat you probably want, okay? However, maybe if you were homeless and freezing or cold, you would jump all over this gift. But for a lot of people, it's a bad gift, you know? Same thing I gave away a while ago, pair of socks. That's an excellent one, right? Yes. Pair of socks, right? Wore these the last 3 days. All right, anybody excited about those socks? No, I think not. Right, so there are bad gifts. There are bad gifts that you can give, but at the same time, a bad gift, which is an obvious bad gift, right? But again, you know, someone who is freezing or is in need would take those socks and never think about the smell or the disease that is existing in those at this time. Is a good gift for all? We talked about that. If the intention is good, does that make the gift good? You know, it's hard to say sometimes. I mean, you've seen some really bad gifts given, but their heart was in it. They thought that you would really enjoy it. I remember two different stories I'll tell with my parents. You know, of course, when we think of gifts oftentimes, and we're going to get to the spiritual aspect of this, right? But when we think of gifts, often we think about something that, you know, a toy or something useful in our lives, like we talked to. But I remember probably my favorite gift my parents ever gave us. Favorite gift, without question. There's nothing else. They gave me a lot of wonderful things in my life, but my brother and I were notoriously bad. Our favorite was to find the presents. My brother is an artist. I mean, I'm so disappointed he doesn't build on that. My brother could unwrap a Christmas present. All right. The only thing that got him caught when it came back to wrapping a present was he did it too perfectly, and they knew he had gotten in it. He could take anything and iron it, and it looked perfect. But we could get into presents, we'd know what we got before. I mean, it was fun to do. And one year, my parents got mad at us, my mom especially, and they locked everything in the closet. And then we got in trouble because we took the hinges off the door and got in the closet. Good times. But my very favorite present was probably the largest item-wise. They had gotten us a 2-seater go-kart. Joel, you remember that? Remember that? Joel came by the house and rode it, I'm sure. And I can't think of anybody else that might have done that. But it was called the 2 Blue Go or something like that. But it was a 2-seater go-kart. And they hid it in plain sight. Put it in the garage, put a piece of carpet over it for weeks. My brother and I never saw it, you know. I do that to my children. I shouldn't tell my kids that today because I know they have no interest in the garage because the garage equals work, right? So you can hide anything in the garage in plain sight and they'll never notice it. You can hang it from the ceiling, they wouldn't notice, but they hid it from us. It was my favorite present. Loved this thing. The go-kart flew. We had 2 acres that we lived on. We put miles and miles on that thing, flipped it, hurt ourselves, did all this wonderful gift. You know, and the opposite of that is one time I was in the store with my dad, and I felt really bad about this because my dad had such a wonderful heart. And I told him I saw this wiffle ball bat, you know, and I was older and I thought I was very mature, of course, probably 15 or 16, knew everything. And I asked for this wiffle ball bat, and I was just joking, and he didn't realize it. And I know it surprises you that I would be sarcastic, but he got me the gift, you know, and I opened it, and I just went, you know, I had that look that the dog had. I didn't cry or anything, but I'm like, yeah, I love it, Dad, thanks. But there are good and there are bad gifts. I like to do this sometimes. I think I talk about this most time. You know, what led me to this sermon? And then I have to give you a testimony. I was on New York this morning. I told him, Brandon wanted some testimonies early on. I told him at the end, I said, look, if you want my testimony, you got to listen to my sermon. So if my brothers and sisters in New York are listening, here it is. If not, I'll give it to you next week. But I've been going through some trials, some temptations, all kinds of stuff going on in my life that appears to be heavier than normal. And be honest, completely unrelated to COVID, maybe indirectly, there's some things that are doing that are causing me some problems. And so I pray about it. In this case, I was actually, I think I told you before, I was praying about our septic tank. We've got some possible real issues about it. And somebody else come out and look at it. And there's a chance there's really nothing wrong with it. I don't know that these guys are trying to rip me off, but it's possible. But I'm not hopeful that they were trying to rip me off, but I'm hopeful that the tank is fine, that I don't have to replace it. And to be honest, if we do sell this house, you know, I don't want somebody to have all these problems, especially with a septic tank and the cost of doing that. So I want it to be right. We got people. And I was praying about this. And as the Lord will do to me, he will put thoughts in my head that take a matter of 1/1,000,000th of a second. And yet all this knowledge exists in my head that he's given me. And I have this tendency, I think, I have this tendency. You know, whatever it is, Lord, I desire thy will to be done. Huh? There's nothing wrong with that prayer. Who doesn't desire the will of the Lord? And that's my prayer, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing a good thing, you know, waiting on the Lord's will, whatever the Lord's will, you know, whatever, you know, and I'm a believer, you know, when the door's open, you know, go through it. The Lord isn't, you know, the Lord will slam it in your face. The Lord will let you go through it. Maybe it's the wrong door, you know, but he's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to shoot you or convict you to hell for one thing that you did that maybe he told you not to do. But I'm a big believer in that. But I have this tendency to ask that the Lord's will be done. And what he put on my heart was Stephen. I can give you anything you want. Anything you want. And yes, you know, His will be done. But I need to ask for it. Think about that. Think about that gift that the Lord gives to us. I can ask for it. I don't just say there, you know, Lord, here's my septic tank. I'd sure like it to be fixed. But I want Thy will to be done, you know. But my real ask of my Lord is I want it healed. I want it fixed. I want it to be perfect in every way. That is my desire of that. When we pray for somebody's illnesses, you know, we think about these sicknesses, you know, and oftentimes in my prayer, and I mean it, you know, I want the Lord's will to be done, whatever that is, whatever that trial is. But He told me in this moment of time, He said, ask for what you want. And more importantly, expect what you want when you pray for it. Okay, that doesn't mean if you don't get it, that was wrong. It doesn't, any of that. But He wants us, and He wants Stephen Kimball. Ask for what you want. If you want a healing, if you want a blessing, if you want a new car or a job or a spouse or all of these things, you know, ask for what you want. You know, and if you take nothing else from the sermon, think about that. You want it. You know, yes, we can say Thy will be done. You know, maybe there's some great plan that I get this job or I don't get this job or I get this or get that or that my septic tank is good or it's bad. Maybe there's some great plan and let it happen. You know, think about what the Lord has to put up with us. You know, Stephen, he's an impatient person and he wants to wait around for, he doesn't want to wait around for things. I want things now. And I thought this example came into my mind when I started getting serious in the church. You know, my prayers, I started praying for a wife, you know, that I could find someone to love that the Lord would appreciate. You know, and that was about 1997. What an awkward situation if the Lord told me I was to marry Amy Pinder. She was married with two kids, lived at the time probably Michigan or somewhere. You were in Michigan at the time, right? What an awkward situation. How or why would the Lord tell me who I'm going to marry in 1997? It wouldn't be appropriate. So why would He answer that? You know, but in that prayer, you know, ask for what I want. Ask for what I want. Don't be afraid to do that. And again, if you take, you know, listen to that very thought. I want to go on and read some of the scriptures that I was led to from this thought, from this experience the Lord gave me. And I want to turn over to James. And this is one of the scriptures I thought of. For those of you that like to know when the ending is coming, I'm going to come back to James and read the rest of James, because I think it fits very well to everything that was going on, certainly in my life. And it says this in James. A servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, this is chapter 1 of James 1 through 7. I know it's up on the board, but I know that there are people who probably maybe can't see the screen and are just listening. So James 1, verse 1 through 7. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It's not just a request of mine that I want something. There's nothing wrong, but I have to ask it in faith, believing. I have to believe that the Lord can fix my septic tank, you know? And there's, I can't explain, I can't put words to what the Lord wants of us when it comes to this believing part, you know? If I ask you the question, how many of you believe that the Lord cannot fix my septic tank? Not one of you is going to raise your hand. If it's broken, it may not even be broken. Every one of you. Which one of us does not believe that? But there's something greater. I can't explain it to you in believing what the Lord wants you to do. And maybe it's not different, but it's unique for every situation when we ask for something. We must believe it. We must have faith. He says it right there. I mean, that's the story of our lives, is it not? that we're going through some temptation, some trial, which as we read in somewhere else in the scriptures where he tells us, you know, count it all joy when you fall into temptations. Does it say that right here? It does. Right here, I just read it. I'm such an idiot sometimes. But it was funny. I just read this and I was looking for the scripture, you know, where it says that the Lord he giveth to men, he giveth liberally. In verse 5, it says to all men liberally. And I'm like, where is that scripture at? I want to get to it. And I just read it and here I did it again. You know, count it all joy when there is temptations and there's things are here. And here's this life. I'm going through all these things that and it's not the only thing. There's heavy burdens from a personal, from a spiritual, from all of these things that are pounding on me to do. And here it is. And I need to ask the Lord in faith, believing. And as the Lord told me, ask what you want. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, our kids do it all the time. Jacob, more so than others, usually the same thing 40 times. Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? No, that comes as a shock to hear kids do it. You know? And I'm like, Jacob, stop it. You know, and I'm angry. And I'm like, here I am in the same prayer going, Lord, can I have this? Lord, can I have this? You know? You think the Lord grows weary of our questions? No. Lord would never grow weary of our questions. You know? He might grow weary of our sins and our weary of lack of faith and our lack of patience. But he wants us to need him wholly, without prejudice. He needs us to want him. We know how to give good gifts, and unfortunately bad ones also, which isn't really a gift now, is it, if we give bad ones? Luke 11, 5 through 13. It says in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you, and this is Christ speaking, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I want to stop right there. You know, you think about that expression, what he's saying, you know, is you know, it'd be like at my house, if you came and rang the doorbell at midnight, I'm knocking it. Well, a certain member of our marriage would be especially unhappy. That's known as the grizzly bear when you wake her up. But we wouldn't be happy being woken up out of a sound sleep, you know. But when we come to the door, and we have a brother in need that needs something, in this case, he needs food. You know, we're going to give it to him, not because they're our friend, not because they're our neighbor or someone we like or dislike, because someone is in need of something that is necessary to them, that is important to them. Reading on, you know, I got a new. I really read this verse 9 and verse 10 together. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, 3 different versions of that. And I'm not going to give you any great philosophical thought on this or anything, but he asks 3 different ways, you know. Ask, seek, and knock. You know, 3 different things. And he says right after that, he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And as we skip over, we're not going to read this portion in Matthew, but the portion before this in Matthew, it says the same thing, except in this version it says, you know, how better will the Lord will give you good gifts? And in this case, the Holy Spirit. You know, think about that. You know, when we ask, he can give. when we seek. They're all actions now, mind you. We don't sit in the corner of our house and cry and cry and cry with something on our mind. You know, He requires an action out of us. To ask, to knock, to seek. There's something there for us to do if we want to receive of Him. So we turn to Matthew 7. Now it's interesting, in this portion of it, Christ is speaking during or just after the Sermon on the Mount, or the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not sure where it is. I didn't look closely at it, where Luke is in a different portion. And in chapter 7, I want to read. I'm sorry, I'm still in Luke. Matthew 7. Sorry, I wanted to read that portion to you, and I can't even get to the right place here. And he says, and this is that verse I said, it's written differently in Matthew for a different reason. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to ask those that ask of Him? But I wanted to read, and I just wanted to read that because it's written a little bit different in, depending on whether you read Matthew and Luke. But in verse 7, verses 1 through 6, you know, there's, you know, before he gets into that, he says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly the cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." You know, this passage of scripture, if you think about what those two items, you know, basically what he's saying is why are you concerned with this little tiny problem your brother has, a little sliver in his eye, when you've got this giant stick sticking out of your face and you can't even see? I mean, that's how I interpret that. You know, you've got this huge problem with this giant stick, and you're running around to your brothers and sisters who have this little sliver trying to correct them. You know, he's asking us to get ourselves right, to get ourselves perfect. And I want to be clear on that too, what I believe on that. You know, sometimes there's a series of steps and things that you need to do to accomplish this task of getting that beam out of your eye. You know, it might be a heavy thing, but remember, this is the Lord, you know. He might simply want you to admit to the mistake in your life as you enter that throne, as a simple passage, you know. Don't discourage yourself because, well, I've got all these problems. God's not going to listen to me. Your problems are minuscule compared to what the Lord. You know, I thought about this the other day as I get myself chasing a squirrel here. You know, I thought about this the other day. You know, think about what you go through on a daily basis. You know, think about what we went through last year with dealing with the virus, with dealing with all of these sisters who lost their spouses, you know, fairly young spouses they lost. You know, think about when you ask for prayer requests and this person has cancer and this person is sick and this person needs a job, you know. And we have our little group here. If we gathered up all those prayers, you know, it'd be a whole list of stuff, you know. The Lord's dealing with gazillions of these. And that, by the way, is well above trillions. Gazillions of these that He's dealing with. Why do you think for a second your one little problem is a problem to the Lord? He wants you to confess to your sins to Him. It's easy for Him to forgive. It's easy for Him to heal you. I'm one of those. The reason I bring that up, I'm one of those that will discourage myself because I've dug myself in such a hole and I haven't learned to throw the shovel out to stop digging yet. And I think I can never get out of here sometimes, you know. But to the Lord, you know, it's a simple flick of the wrist and you're out of the hole and you're done with this problem. Right? Don't discourage yourself. Yes, some things require time. And the problem that He heals you of might require time. It might require repentance. So you don't go back. And seven things worse, replace it. I'm not going to read 7. I read 7 through 12 there. Moroni, you know, when we talk about these gifts, you know, the Lord knows what gifts to give us. You know, and we mentioned that Holy Spirit that he gives unto us. Let's turn to Moroni chapter 7. And I will go back here again, I think a couple times, at least one more time, if you want to save your place there. But in 5 through 7 of chapter 7 of the book of Moroni, this is on page 763 in my Book of Mormon. It says, "For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except ye shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore he is counted evil before God." You know, if we're out there doing something to be seen of men, to be reckoned with men, to be higher standing with men, you know, we do it with an evil heart. We do it with the desire not for the promise of the gift, like we defined earlier, that without recompense, without giving the bribe, so to speak. You know, that's what he wants. And I'm going to go back as I was reading that. I was thinking about that portion in Matthew where I just read, you know, that last verse I read in Matthew where it says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample you under their feet and turn again and rend you." You know, part of this sermon I wanted to talk about is we have gifts to give people, you know, and we'll talk about that. But think about this, you know, when I showed you these gifts, not all these gifts are good for people. You know, I sometimes when we go out in this world, there's people that you can't tell them the meat of this gospel because it's too much for them one way or the other. Either you'll totally lose them forever, or they'll become irate with you, depending on whether they might need the small things, the little things, you know. Maybe they need the three-day-old disease socks that you need to give them, that little piece, you know. And I think there's I see a couple meetings in this casting things before swine, you know. You can't go out in the world and give them the meat of this gospel sometimes because they're not ready to receive it because they're filthy, you know. And they need to see that gift possibly that you can give them that exists within you before you desire to seek more. Galatians 5, 19 through 23. And it says this: "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, of such like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." How many of you wish to provide these as a gift for people around you? I'm assuming nobody wants to partake of those, but if we put ourselves in a situation where that's the so-called gift, if you will, that we provide people, we are not doing anybody any service. You know, there are people that we need to talk to that are doing these things, that we can provide them with a gift. You know, they may not want to hear it at the time, but with patience, you know, eventually they hear it. Reading on, you know, these are the gifts, you know, this gift of the Spirit that was given to us. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that are born out when we allow the Spirit to work in our lives: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, these are the gifts that we can provide for our brothers and sisters. These are the gifts that we better provide. You know, these fruits. You know, I can't give you love, but I can show you love. You know, think about these gifts that you get. You know, you pick one gift that you really like. You know, I'm kind of an Apple geek. I love the stuff that they put out, you know. And when I get this gift, you know, I want to show it to you. You guys got to look at this. First of all, it's got a QR pad. I can charge it on the pad right? So I just put it on there and it charges. You know, I can flip it open. I can do one ear at a time. These things will last for 10, 20 hours if I use them one at a time. The noise is great. It's got noise canceling. You know, what am I doing? You know, I'm advertising something I love. And if we have these fruits in the Spirit, if we have Jesus Christ, is this not something that we want to advertise? Is that not the gift that we want to spread abroad to our brothers and sisters, to those out in the world, to give to them? Matthew 15, 17 through 20. It says this, you know, in thinking of a bad gift, do not ye yet understand, I'm sorry, did I give it all? Matthew 15, 17 through 20, Christ speaking again. Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with an unwashed hand defileth not a man. In my world, where we deal in sales, we deal in information that we want. And if you put bad information in, you're going to get bad information out. You know, it's no different in our lives. If we find ourselves in ill company, if we find ourselves filling us with things that are not of the Lord, those things will show themselves in your life. You know, that's why we don't put ourselves in the company of these things, because when you put these things in, they're going to come back out. They're going to be shown. You're not going to be effective. I really thought some of these pictures would get some more oohs and ahs out of people. Is that not the cutest puppy ever? Guess I wore you out with asking you to participate. So, Ephesians 15 through 23. You know, some of the, I could have given quite a few scriptures, not quite a gazillion scriptures, but certainly there was plenty that we could have gone to. And Ephesians, all right. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of man, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in his world, but also in this which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is of the which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, Christ was a gift to us. The God sent his Son down here as a gift to us. You know, why would we not take advantage of the things that are given to us? Everybody's had the smile on their face. We love gifts. These are important gifts that we have, you know. And again, and I hope you see where I'm going with this testimony that I gave. Don't be afraid to ask what you want. Don't be afraid. Like I will do. I do that all the time. Afraid to ask what I want. You know, just, you know, being timid and letting the Lord's will be done. He's more powerful than that. Moroni 7, verse 14 on page 764 says, for behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth thee good, and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. It's a gift to us to be used, to be, for lack of a better word, flaunted, if you will, to this world, to see that what we have. Are we willing to receive the gifts and enjoy them? Just like I've been talking about all this time, you know? What good does the Lord telling me anything if I don't take advantage of what he gives me? Spiritual gifts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. One through 14. You know, and this is important because it talks about the body of Jesus Christ. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you understanding that no man, speaking of the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For everyone is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, one body being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I love this passage of Scripture, one of my favorite questions. You know, again, I think in some of my timidness, you know, when I can look out at a brother and sister, hopefully I explain this well, but I can look out at two brothers who I hold in great esteem and can have two different ideas on anything, whether it's scriptural, whether it's something common. You know, look what we're going through with this whole COVID virus. We have different opinions on what should happen. How do we do that? You know, look at this. Everybody was given a different gift. You weren't given all the gifts. Everybody was built different by the Lord, and it was for a purpose. It was for a purpose that we come together as a body to be one. If we have aught with our brother, put it away. If you're having problems with this COVID, I still see it today. We're a year plus past this, and we're still having a hard time. You know, it does go both ways. You know, you can't be arrogant with your beliefs. You can't flaunt your beliefs. At the same time, you got to be willing to accept what other people are looking at in that. You know, we can have the same problems in the Scripture. Does it do us any good to get angry at somebody? It doesn't. We just heard a sermon about that. There's no benefit in that. There's no benefit for me to get my pride up in what I know is right and what I've read and what I've learned and what I understand. You know, it does us no good. We were given different gifts for a reason. We have different places. I may look and go, you know, that's goofy. I don't even want to be a part of that. But yet they have this, that, you know, this gift. You know, I have a sister that sends out these texts, and somebody else talked about it the other day. I am extremely grateful for it. It's not something I would ever do. And I don't, my sister will understand this, but, you know, it's kind of a cheesiness to it. And it's not something that I'm probably going to do, but it's a huge blessing to me when I get this text, you know. And I every time I smile and I'm thankful for it. I hope she continues it, you know. But it's not something to do. It's not my talent to do those things, you know. The Lord may take something I'm weak in and send me out to do it. He says it. He'll take our weaknesses and make it strength. But you know, it's not always my place, and sometimes it is my place. And take time, you know, back to that patience thing. Take time to be patient, to be humble with your brothers and sisters. Don't get angry. Don't start backbiting. Don't start busybodying, talking around behind their backs. It causes destruction. What do you think it does to the body when you're taking an axe to a leg? You know, as you read on, I'm not going to read all of it. You know, it talks about it. You know, what happens, you know, if the leg tries to act like an arm? It doesn't work typically. It certainly doesn't work like it's supposed to. You know, how many of you willingly, who have both your arms and legs, would gladly go, you know, just for kicks and grins, I feel guilty. I'm going to go ahead and take my right leg, and I'm going to tie it up around my back, and I'm not going to use it for 20 years. That's stupid. Why would you do that? You wouldn't. You know, take anybody that doesn't have that leg and they would go, you're an idiot. You know, if you have a gift from God, use it. Don't tie it up. Don't strangulate it in any way. Reading on, 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The Lord gave us these temptations, these trials, these gifts, not to one person, but to all of us to be used, you know? We're to be a body. We're not to be fighting. If you've got this urge, if you've got ill, even if they don't even know about it, you know? Mark may make me mad because he toots his horn too loud sometimes when he's driving down the road, you know, and he may not even know that, you know. Whoop-de-doo. I don't care. And he doesn't toot his horn too loud. I like the horn. I miss the cane, actually, to do the shocking thing. That helped a lot. But you know, and think about what we do also sometimes as brothers and sisters, you know. Oh, that Amy Kimball, you know, she's got this way of just annoying me. But, you know, bless her. You know, she'll be okay, you know. That's not a good attitude. That's not giving a good gift, is it? I have to put up with her all the time. You know, I have to love her, right? You know, that's not the gift. That's not what we're to do. We laugh about it. Think about when a trial comes on you, you know? I think about my brother Adam, you know, losing that job for 3 years, whatever it is, and seeking out the trial that he was going through. You know, and I always say, you know, if you want to pray for somebody, try to put yourself in that situation. But I guarantee you, I didn't feel one billionth of the pain he was feeling on a daily basis. You know, think about it. We can talk about, yeah, I'm going to be part of this body. I'm not going to get mad at people. But Satan's not going to let you get away with that. He's going to tempt you. You know, think about a drug dealer. What's a drug dealer do in his life? What's he want you to do? What's the main thing? You police officers, what's a drug dealer want you to do? He wants you to taste of the drug. What's he going to do? He's going to give you a gift, right? He's going to give it to you free. Why does he give it to you free? Participation? Come on. What's that? Set the hook. He wants you to become addicted. You know, young people. You know, I don't envy your situation. I can't even begin to tell you what things are going to be like. You're going to want to rebel against your parents, against your family. You are doing it. There are things that you want to taste. You know, and Satan's going to gladly put it there right before your throne. Your throne. And go taste of this. Taste this drug because I want you to be addicted, because I'm not going to give you any more gifts. You're going to pay for it. You're going to want to fill my pockets with gold. You know, and to Satan, to take your soul, that's the gold he wants to take from you. So what I'm saying when I think about this in body, don't get yourself in such a situation where you think, you know, this whole COVID thing could get much, much worse. Our lives, I think about it, you know, think about us getting to the point where we're having to find ways to find food. And I don't know that it's going that way. I don't know that it'll ever go that way. I have no idea what's going to happen. We may have some modern comforts our whole lives without much pain. You know, we may never have to seek out food. But if it's going to come, how many of you are ready for that? How many of you are ready for that battle? This is our training grounds. How many of you ready? You can say, yeah, I'm ready. But are you? I don't know. I don't know what temptation Satan's going to throw at me next that I may be ready. I don't know what thing I've done in my life that's going to come back and bite me. Let's go to Moroni, chapter 7, 52 and 53. Charity, if we had read on in Corinthians into the 13th chapter, it does a big talk about charity, but I wanted to read these two scriptures, 52 and 53. Wherefore cleave unto the charity which is the greatest of all. For all things much fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ and endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart that ye may be filled with this love that hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, and that we may be purified, even if he is pure. Amen. Should read that scripture every single time. How many of you, and I don't want to see your hands, how many of you have prayed for charity today? How many of you prayed for charity in the last week or the last month? I know I preached about it a couple months ago. I've heard others preach about charity. How many of you have asked for charity? Just like the Lord told me this week. If you want it, ask for it. How many of you want charity? Ask him for it. You know, if you want something, I don't care how cheesy it is. I don't care how small it is. He is bigger, far bigger than any of us. And what you may think is somebody else thinking it's petty is not petty to God when you ask of him. I guarantee it. Read your scriptures. It reads through the whole thing. The Lord does not find things petty because he is so much bigger and better than we are. Hebrews. I'm not going to turn there. I don't think I need to read that, you know. We should love the chastening of the Lord. That's what it is. You can read in Proverbs chapter 3 also. I wasn't going to read from there, but the chastening of the Lord is something that we should require. Last week, guess what? We're at the end. Last week, I've really been enjoying my time with my brothers and sisters up in New York. It's a long drive every morning, but I managed to make it. I enjoy the time. I have a great love for them. I've been up there with them, and I miss them, but I enjoy the way Brandon does his services. If you ever want to get on the New York local, let me know. I'll gladly. Brandon sends out. Anybody can get on there. And he does a Zoom display where you can talk before and after. It's a wonderful time, but I get on there. And at the end last time, sometimes I'll stay to the bitter end because we get to talk. After these long-winded preachers get done, we get to talk to each other. And so we talk. And last week, Martin Vavine was on there. And if you don't know our sister, Martin Vavine, she is not one that'll chew her cabbage twice, okay? When she tells you something, she got on to me because I was wearing my hat. You know, I'm sitting in my room, and, you know, I felt chastened. And it's amazing the way she does it. She's one of those people that can chasten you, and you can feel humbled and loved all at the same time. And she's like, brother, and she knows me, and she's like, brother, what are you wearing your hat for? You're sitting in a church right now, whether it's your house or not, you get that hat off right now, you know? And I'm like, you know, she's right. I shouldn't have had my hat on, you know? And I'll be honest, I don't completely agree with her because I'm sitting in my house, but I'm not wearing my hat again. I promise you, I'm not wearing even however bad my hair might look, I'm not wearing. You know, the Lord loveth whom he changed my sister's thoughts. I want to finish in James, reading to the end of James chapter 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so that also the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away at his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived it, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits with his creatures. Sorry, I have to stop for a second. You know, I always think of my sister Edna Smith when I read that scripture about neither shadow, you know, that, or whom is no variableness, or neither shadow of turning. She used to just love to quote that scripture to us, or to me. You know, when she talked about the Lord and her love for the Lord, and you could see it exuded out of her. 18. Yes, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of the man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Can't help but laugh when I read that, but. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any of ye be hearer of the word, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, the man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Read that scripture. I know I read it quickly and didn't go through it all completely. But if you want some homework, go read the first chapter of James. You know, it is such a beautiful summation of what the Lord desires of us as walkers in this gospel. You know, and like I said, if you remember one thing, you know, remember that testimony I gave you, what the Lord gave me as a gift, that there's nothing new petty, nothing petty for the Lord. Ask of him. It's between you and him. As you approach his throne to the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, shed these gifts forth unto people and take advantage of these things. Let's be that example. Let's be this body that the Lord desires us to be. You know, it's to me, it's just, it's one small step that just brings us into this perfect union. Let us love one another. Thank you.